Log Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. I'm coming to say good morning, good morning, good morning. How is everybody out there in radio land? Oh, I tell you, as always, I'm just so happy to be able to come to say how are you and to say good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh, hey, it's been a busy morning for me already. It's been really, really busy. And you know what? I don't think my life and what's going on with me is any different than your lives. Many of you are probably saying the very same thing. In fact, you're probably saying, I don't know if I'm going to have time to even spend time with Dr. Wilder this morning because so many things are happening. Well, I pray that I believe you've decided, hey, it was important to come on and spend some time with me. So I appreciate it. Appreciate that so much. So I know that you understand when I say it's been busy already. Well, I'll probably share some more of that with you as I go along. But right now, I just want to once again tell you thank you. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for being faithful to come on the airwaves with me week after week. Thank you for sharing the good news that Dr. Wilder is on the radio. I tell you, I love you. I appreciate you so much. Well, we're not going to waste time today. Today, I'm coming with a topic that, yes, 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 I'm excited to share with you, and it is how long will you stay faithful? Somebody says, wait a minute, let me just make sure my ears are clear that I hear what Dr. Wilder said. I'm going to say it again. Yeah. How long will you stay faithful? And I'm going to be coming from Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to read in your hearing verses 13 through 14. But as you know, always, I invite you to read the entire chapter for yourself, all right? So anyway, once again, how long will you stay faithful? From Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 14 in your hearing this morning. All right? So now with that done, what do we usually do? Hey, we go to prayer, and that's what we're going to do this morning. Let's go in prayer. All right, I've been there already this morning, but let me go there with you this morning, okay? Father God, oh, you've had your ears attuned to us all morning, that we've been crying out to you on behalf of ourselves and others, Lord God, some we know and some we don't even know. But God, we know from your word that you always incline your ear to our cry, that we can't come to you too much. We can't stay too long. Father God, that you just welcome us whenever we would cry out to you. And so, Father, first we tell you thank you. Thank you for being so attentive to us. Thank you for supplying our every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you for every listener this morning. Thank you for those that are going to pick up the broadcast later. Thank you, Lord God, for delivering individuals out of the hospitals and those that you're helping not to get there. And, oh, God, definitely we cry out for the bereaved ones all over the land, all those that are mourning, not just death, oh, God, but mourning the loss of jobs, mourning the loss of relationships, divorces, and all of those type things that are going on that cause the heart to hurt. Oh, my God, and so much pain. So, Lord, we lift them all up to you today because you promise in every situation you have a promise. So you promise to comfort those that mourn. Hallelujah. And then, Lord God, hey, you just promise to be with us no matter what, that you'll never leave us or forsake us, which means that in everything, you're there with us. So, Father God, I lift up your sons and your daughters on the line, and we just come to say thank you. And now, Father, as I make ready to come forth with this topic, this broadcast, that indeed, Lord, you would give your Holy Spirit charge to take charge. Give him charge to take charge. and deliver this word the way that you know the listeners need to receive, need to hear it and receive, that they will go on throughout the day uplifted, encouraged, strengthened, oh my God, and some even pull back from the brink of hopelessness and helplessness. In Jesus' name, I make this request, and I do in advance because I know you're faithful. In Jesus' name, I pray, and I say amen, amen, and amen. Woo, praise God. So as I said, I'm going to be coming from Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verses 13 and 14 in your hearing. And it reads this way from the New King James Bible. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. Actually, it says whether good or evil. That's what the text reads today, okay? So, once again, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing. Oh, every secret thing, whether good or evil. Well, as I already said, this has been a busy, busy morning for me already. Ordinarily, on Monday mornings, I don't take many phone calls, only if it's something that I really see come up and I feel is maybe very, very, very important. I usually let it go to the answer machine and I respond later because my attention is on preparing for this segment, for this time that I will come to you, all right? And so until after the broadcast, usually I don't answer the phone. But this morning, numbers start coming up, indicate to me from the numbers that it was one of those situations that needed immediate attention. So as I answered, and of course I found out that it wasn't from the stranger that I expected, but it was from someone that was saying, I just needed somebody, I don't know where to go. I needed to talk. I'm in so much pain. Things are so bad. And so it was a good thing that I answered the phone, all right? But anyway, I spent time there, and before I could hang up from there, there was another one from another state that was calling and needed my attention. Oh, my God, so the morning has been such. But let me tell you, that was just on top of having such a weekend wherein, hey, I heard some things that I hadn't heard. Well, no, I won't say I hadn't heard, but I had heard that were reiterated. One thing that I've heard over a number of times is that, oh, Dr. Wilder, you're not very transparent. And you know, for a long time, I didn't understand what that meant. All right. I know what the word transparent means, but I didn't understand what people were saying. In other words, they were saying, we want to get to know you personally. And you don't tell much about yourself personally. Now, still, I was still surprised because I'm thinking I am transparent, but maybe I'm not to certain individuals, okay, or maybe certain groups of individuals, which I still have to work thinking that's a good thing. But either way, the weekend was spent with such hearing things such as that. An individual said, oh, I'm so happy that I got a chance to spend time with you. Oh, I wanted to know more about you. I wanted to know more. So things started on Friday in such a way. So that was Friday and Saturday. Oh, my God. So do you hear me saying how it was a busy? This morning was busy, but I guess I have to walk all the way back to even Friday and before then. So, but I know I'm not so different than many of you, like I said already in my opening. So many of us have so many things on our plate right now. And we are in this transition time, coming through COVID and, being shut up and having to learn new ways of doing things that, you know, we are still in that transition time, that's still trying to feel our way through, trying to feel, do I go this way? Do I go that way? Is it all right to hold back? What do I do? I know that's where many of you are because I'm there, and I know that I'm not different. Hey, that's what our scripture text to tell us about today, all right? That, hey, we are very much the same. In fact, this writer that wrote this book that I'm coming from, Ecclesiastes, this is Solomon. His name is Solomon. Solomon, all right? And Solomon, yes, King Solomon. He was David, the previous king, David, the giant slayer, David, the shepherd boy, is his son. Yes, that's his son. And so he wrote the text that we're reading from, but he also wrote the Song of Solomon, which was written early in his, from what we can glean from history, is that that was probably written early in his early years of life. And then he wrote Proverbs, which probably came in his middle years of life. And then today we're looking into Ecclesiastes. And this is probably, from all that we can read, we would agree that this was the latter part of his life. We get a glimpse of an individual various times of life. Remember, I talked about being transparent, people saying that I'm not transparent. But I think, and so we look at this scripture, look at these different texts and start seeing how this individual changed and how he talked about his life and his teaching and his upbringing and everything, we see that there was a lot of transparency here, especially in the latter years of his life. All right? So somebody's already questioning, oh, is it good to be transparent or is it not? I leave that to you. I think there are times that it's good, but I think there are times that it's, hey, depending on how transparent, not saying that we're trying to hide anything, because our text just said it. We can't hide anything anyway. God sees everything. He knows everything, all right? So, but we don't have to be on the rooftop shouting out all of our personal information. No, we don't, all right? In fact, one of those calls this morning, that was what it was about, asking a question, kind of a personal question about some of my doings and everything. And you know what? I didn't hold back. I answered. And you say you did? And then, yes, I got off the phone, and then I questioned if I needed to. But I did, okay? So they asked, and I told them, all right? So anyway, here we go. We're looking at this. So first of all, when we look, we reflect back on last week's broadcast, because it's somewhat in the same arena as we are today with my topic, how long will you stay faithful? So last week, the broadcast focused on an individual by the name of Asa. That's A-S-A, King Asa, all right? And we came from 2 Chronicles 16 and 1 Kings 15. Both of them talked about him. And as I said to you, even last week, the history of him and his life story goes even beyond just those two chapters. But anyway, it was about an individual who started off doing the right thing toward God. Yes, he was a king. And as we discussed it last week, and I'm going to say it again, it was all about God's chosen people who have become, they started out whole, but then they became a split nation, all right? And when we did the study, we find out that one of them, one of those that was called the nation of Israel, we found out that whatever way the leader went, so did the nation. So if the leader stayed faithful to God, all right, loyal to God, then the nation would. But then you found that part of them just never did right. In other words, that nation, Israel, okay, they never did right. They were always rebelling against God or in idolatry and, building altars and everything to foreign gods. And just plain just rebellious, plain rebellious. And then we find with Asa, who was over the nation of Judah, that indeed, hey, he came along and he was faithful to God. In that particular nation, they were off and on, all right? So when Asa moved in, he was faithful to God. He moved in. Hear me well. The question is, how long will you stay faithful? How long will you be loyal? So we get the picture of an individual here who started off doing the right thing. He had a reign of 41 years. 41 years. 41 years in position. 41 years as a king. But yet in his 36th year, look what I'm saying, 35 years of faithfulness, 35 years came into the position, getting rid of everything that didn't pertain to God, all idol worship, all the altars and everything that were not conducive to God. Even his grandmother, who had built a shrine, I would say a shrine, okay? You might say a statue. Anyway, it was not dedicated to the living God. It was not. So her attention and her worship was not to the living God. And she had built this thing that to dedicate unto it. So he moved her out of place. She was a queen mother. But he demoted her. Because he was all about doing what pleased God, what was going to bring satisfaction and the loyalty to God and loyalty from God. Achieved that until that 36th year of his reign. And then for whatever reason, God had been with him before. God had brought him through great battles before. All those things that would give him to know that no matter what, God was going to be with him. But yet in this 36th year, there was this nation that came up against him and began to bombard them and build walls of protection, walls to hinder people from coming into them. And he got scared. I'll say he got scared. I don't know whether they said that or not. But the point is, rather than running to God still, he ran to another nation to say, come in league with me against these individuals. Well, you know that didn't fit well with God. As time went on, so he, now look, what did I say? 35 years of being faithful, 35 years of walking with God, 35 years of God showing himself strong and mighty on his behalf and the nation's behalf. And all of a sudden, in a 36th year, he fell away and started looking to man for his help, started looking to other nations for his help, even taking the things of God's house, things that belonged to God, that were dedicated to God, to use to pay this nation to come up and take league with him. My God. Oh, so anyway, so we found last week. Go back and listen to last week's broadcast, okay? So I'm giving you just an excerpt of it to bring you right on into here we are today with another individual, all right? Now, that particular person by the name of Asa, the opportunity came for him to straighten up, but he didn't. He still rebelled against God by rebelling against the messenger of God, all right? And so his latter years were spent bad. His latter years were spent with him with disease in his feet, and he went out still not having repented, still not having returned to God. Oh, my God. So you understand why I'm coming this morning to say, how long will you stay faithful? Yep. And somebody's getting worried already. You're saying, but I already fell away. Well, you know what? By way of this broadcast today, you can come back. It's letting you know it's not too late. Life is still in you. So wherever you drifted off to, you know, whether you did it intentionally or you were drawn away by your friends, your family, or something else, okay, life, as I started off talking, life got too heavy. Life has gotten heavy. Sometimes we don't know what to do next. We don't know where to turn to next. It's just everything is crowded in on us. Well, that's what one of the things I want to talk to you about today. What do we do when that happens? Well, we see here, as this nation started crowding in on Asa, he turned to the wrong way. He chose the wrong way to go. Wrong way. Where in that scripture text of last week, he said, God sent word, said, you know, my eyes go to and fro throughout the whole world, whole nation, all over, looking for somebody that I can prove myself strong and mighty on their behalf. That's big. Almighty God, he wants to prove himself strong and mighty on our behalf. He just wants somebody to trust him and allow him to come into their lives to do such. Woo! So here we are. On this hand, hey, hold on to that. Now, there was a man there, remember. 41 years, 35 years of being faithful, and God, faithful to God, loyal to God, and God was proving himself loyal to him. Yes. So now here we come along, and we come to this text today, and we find this individual by the name of Solomon, all right, who himself started out well. In fact, when he was given the position of king, nation to Almighty God, and he sought God's face in to carry forth the job he was being given. And God answered him. God says, what is it that you want from me? And he told him, I need wisdom. These are a lot of people that I've been placed over, you know, and I need your wisdom. I need wisdom of how to lead such a great number of people, how to handle such a great, how to be the leader over such a great number of people. I need wisdom. I need wisdom. And the Bible says that God told him, says, you know, because you didn't come to me asking for riches. You didn't ask coming for anything basically for yourself, you know, your own pleasures or anything. I'm paraphrasing that, but it's in the Bible, okay? He said to him, because of that, I'm going to grant you what you asked for, which was wisdom, okay? How to lead that great number of people, which, I mean, it was a mighty army of people, hundreds of thousands of people. And he says, I need help. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. And so God said, I will give you what you asked for. But because you didn't ask for the riches and all of that, I'm going to give you riches. Oh, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? There's one scripture in Proverbs says that by the fear of God comes wisdom and come honor and life. Ooh, my God, that's what we spend most of our lives looking for. And yet it said just the fear of God. If you fear God and you stay faithful to God and you continue to seek God's face, he'll give you all that other stuff that many times we put that as priority. We put that first. Yeah, we do. But, hey, the scripture said, no, do it the other way. Seek God. Seek God. And, you know, the fear of God. The fear of God, not trembling fear, but also, I tell you, sometimes I get trembling fear. When I find out that I've gone wrong, I messed up, and oh my God, or I know God is calling me to do something and I'm holding back. There are sometimes it's like I get in such a hurry once the revelation comes. It's like, I got to do it. I got to do it. I can't waste time. I can't mess up here. This is God, Almighty God, that's giving me instruction. But there are some people out there. There are some people that they have no fear of God. In fact, right now in our nation with so many things happening, the shooting and people not having any desire or any respect for life, you know, people are asking, what's wrong? What's wrong? And the best thing I can say is they have no fear of God. They have no fear of God. Now, it could be more, but to me, bottom line, that's it. Okay, God that will cause a man to cleanse his ways. That's in the Bible. Yes, that's a scripture. By the fear of God, because we fear God knowing that he knows all, he sees all. Hey, that it'll cause us not to try to lie and cheat and steal and do all those other things that people think they can do undercover. They think they can do and nobody gets to see and nobody gets to know. Yes, yes, yes. We still have so many people still trying to do that. Yes, even in high places. Yes, even in high places. But the fear of God, I say, God's eyes are all over the place. There is nothing hidden from God. The word of God says, so every creature is naked and revealed unto him. Nothing is hidden from the eye of Almighty God. In fact, he knows our very thoughts. Yes. Because sometimes we think, oh, I just thought it. I didn't do it, okay? But sometimes we ruminate. In other words, we stay focused on negative thoughts. We just keep focusing and thinking and thinking, what can we do? Mischief, okay? Mischief, what can I do? I want to hurt that person. They hurt me. I want to hurt them. They said something negative and negative back. Yes, we do that. Somebody said, I don't do that. Well, listen. God sees your heart. If you don't do it, great. But did you ever do it? That's the question. Did you ever do it? So if you did it, you can relate to what I'm saying. It's not saying you still have to be there, but definitely you understand where I'm coming from. Ah, yes, yes, yes. But again, the Bible says it's through the fear of God that man will cleanse his ways. He will stop. He will stop doing all that negative stuff. He'll stop doing all that wicked stuff. He'll stop it. He'll ask God to help him, to clean him up, to deliver him. And I tell you, like I said, we can be delivered. We can be set free. If even this broadcast today shake you up a little bit, know that, hey, you still got breath in your body and you can straighten up. How is that, Dr. Wilder? Well, from the scripture, he says, hey, if you just confess your faults, confess your sins, confess them. Hey, he says he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And I do say and cleanse, because many times you're saying to me, but I did that. I confessed them, and yet I keep doing the same thing. I always say, hey, but did you let him cleanse you? He's trying to cleanse you. He's telling you not to go back to that old place, not to say the same thing. Stop going in that old company you used to go to. Stop picking up, putting your hands on things that you shouldn't put them on. He's saying to you because he wants to cleanse you from those things. He wants you to be delivered, to be set free, that they don't rise in your life again. Woo. So as we move on, we see this next individual, Solomon. That's what I'm talking about now, all right? That, hey, Asa wasn't alone, but now he would come along with Solomon, who had a godly father, who a father that also pleased God. Well, Solomon did. He started off well, just like this other guy, all right, just like Asa. He started off well, all right, in his life, okay? In other words, we're not putting them in order. We're not trying to order them who came first and all like that, okay? It's just a comparison of them and their walk, okay? What they did and how they walked with God, all right? So, okay, he had experienced spiritual decline, Solomon. Solomon has started out. I might have should have reversed them and talked about Solomon first, but I don't want to because I wanted to use this scripture, all right? But if you go back and now you're trying to follow which one came, all right, I'm not dealing with which one, whether Solomon was king first. Well, hey, the Bible says that Asa was one of David's, it says it was his father, meaning that he came from the lineage of David. So if we wanted to put him in order, we probably would have put Solomon first, okay? But anyway, it said he had experienced spiritual decline in his life. Somewhere along the line, as we see, as I already said, God gave him much wisdom. And God had promised that as long as he stayed faithful to God and the commands of God, God would just be there with him, and he would actually make him his son, or he would be special, all right? So we find that he started off doing well. He started off. But then as time, and he had all this wisdom and all of this knowledge that he himself talks about as you begin to read the book of Ecclesiastes. He doesn't get to this point and try to pretend that he had been good all the time. No, he goes on and starts talking about it, okay? About his life and how he had messed up. Yes, he had fallen out of faithfulness to God for a while. Because what? He had so much. He was a man of great riches, wiser than all the others in the kingdom, all right? He was a wise man. It might have even been in the East. He was the most wisest man, all right? And then he had riches galore, riches, riches, riches. He had fame, all right? He had power. He had honor. He had wealth. And then guess what? Usually when people have all of that, they just indulge themselves with sexual pleasures as well, from one way or another. Often that's what ends up happening, unless they keep being faithful to God. That's one of the reasons, people out there, I say to you, let me interject this. I say, pray, pray, pray. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for our marriages. Let's pray. Because you know what? Anytime the enemy sees things going well, anytime the enemy sees that maybe you're growing in popularity, anytime the enemy sees that you're getting honor and you're being exalted or you're being elevated, hey, guess what? They often present some type of sexual diversion. That's that really, really, they come in one way or another. There are other ways, but that's one of the big ones. That because he does it so cunningly. The enemy does it so cunningly. Oh, my God. That we have to pray for leaders, pray for ourselves, for leaders, pray for wisdom, pray for the eyes of understanding to be open. Pray that the eyes be alert. Pray that they be surrounded by godly individuals that will tell them the truth. Come on, come on. We got a job to do. We have a job to do to help those that are our leaders, to help those, whether it's in the church or whatever position, because the enemy loves to come in to try to divert and cause mischief in the midst. All right? Oh, my God. I want to move on, but I just feel to stay there for a minute. All right? And I know the church has heard me say this and preach this so many times, but I need to say this again. All right? Let's not get caught up in the fact that, oh, that person already has this high position. They're all set. They need your prayers the most. Instead of sitting in the pews or standing on the outside saying, oh, okay, and we just criticize that to their rescue in prayer, okay, hey, we're messing up ourselves. So let's just remember, hey, some people say, I don't have any job to do. I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what my gifting is. Well, I'm telling you, sometimes they say, all I know is I can pray. Well, honey, that is a great gifting, to be able to pray, to stay on the wall of prayer and intercession. That's a great gift. That's a great gift. And guess what? The Lord said to me one time when I was talking, concerned about my children, he gave me the analogy of an umbilical cord. And you know how that is through when the child is in the womb, all right? They're fed through you, from you, all right? And it's through that cord. And when the baby comes out, they have to clip that cord. But he gave me the picture of them still being attacked. In other words, my prayer is the cord. My prayer holds them. My prayer binds them to me. My prayers reach them. My prayers go beyond them. He said, I'm still attached through prayer. Woo. That just helps somebody. Because your children are far away from you. You know, they get to be a certain age, and then it's time for them to go off on their own. But guess what? Through prayer, you still have a hold of them. You're still reaching them. Through prayer, because God hears you. Yes, and God will answer you. And so, hey, I've held on to that. I remember him showing. I can still see it so clearly, okay? And I hold on to that. So, again, the same thing. That's what prayer will do. Prayer will reach when we can't go. Prayer will speak when we can't speak. Prayer will speak. So as we pray, seeing the Lord, hey, whether it's our voice or it's another, somebody else's voice or whatever. And many times, remember, your children will come back to you. And sometimes I have other people come back to me. And they say to me, I heard Dr. Wilder. I heard you. I was in such and such a situation. And I heard you say. Now, it wasn't really me saying, it was really the God speaking, using my voice to say to them, all right? So at that time, the Lord was intervening, and it was because of our prayers. Woo, my God, my God. Are you guys following me? Did you get that today? So again, here we are. To how long will you stay faithful? All right? Solomon got to be so popular in his work. The word went out of his popularity. The word went out to what a great guy he was, a great king, and how well he treated even his servants. The word went, here we come, people coming, and they wanted to know for themselves. It wasn't good enough to hear it from other people. There's this one, Queen of Sheba? Anyway, she came and she said, hey, I heard. But, yeah, I came to see for myself. Yes. unless the half has not been told. Oh, so anyway, people will come from far and near, and we have to keep our heads straight. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord, keep our eyes on the one that we made a vow to. We got to stay faithful, not get drawn away by the fame, not get drawn away by honor, not get drawn away by big words that's spoken to us and all of that. Woo! So how does this even fit into my opening this morning? My opening is the same thing. I'm saying in the midst of everything, in the midst of people wanting me to be transparent and me beginning to say this or say that, and then they're giving me feedback. Point is, listen, hey, all honor, all glory, anything good you see or hear from me, let's give God the glory. It's not Annie. It's not Dr. Wilder. It's the Lord's doing. Any good thing, any good and perfect gift comes from above. Hey, and we got to give him the glory. We got to give him the praise. We got to keep our eyes on the one that is helping us, that's feeding us, that's anointing us. Woo! We got to stay faithful to him. So the question is, how long will you stay faithful? Will you stay faithful only to the point of you beginning to get honor? You beginning to get glory? You're beginning to people recognize you? People beginning to run to you and come to you for advice and everything? Or you get monies? You get riches? Hey, and now you walk away from the Lord? This word comes today to encourage us to shake ourselves, to look at ourselves, to remind ourselves that only, hey, what we do for Christ is going to last. And we want our work, we want them to be able to go through the fire. Yeah, go through the time of testing. Go through and still come out standing, come out whole, all right? So when we continue to look here, all right, here it was. This individual who had had a great teaching beforehand, we find that in his earlier writings, he had a great teacher, and he had had an encounter with God himself, that God is the one that asked him, what would you want? But yet, as time went on, he began to search out the wisdom of God, search out life's meaning, okay, in other ways. In other words, now, hey, he started indulging himself into all these other things that went on in life. He was building more houses, having maidservants, having wives, number of wives. You wonder, how could he have had so many wives? What could he? But anyway, you read it in the Bible. He had wives, and he wrote poetry. He did all these things. He tried. And then throughout the scripture, we find he said it was folly. It was folly. In some places, it says vanity, vanity, meaning it's empty. I tried this, and I found out, hey, you know, I had the wine, and I found out, hey, that didn't bring any lasting pleasure. I built some more houses. I found out that didn't bring any lasting pleasure. I had some more wives. I found out they didn't bring me lasting pleasure. You know, I built some altars for my wives. Oh, I found out that didn't make it to bring me any pleasure. He went on and on, and he tried it. All those various things. Oh, somebody saying, that's sad. He started out walking with God. He started out having conversations with God. He started out having these encounters with God, and yet he would go off looking for something else. I know that is the tragedy, isn't it? But let's not get so caught up in his tragedy. Let's still keep our eyes on ourselves. Let's keep searching our hearts, searching our motives, searching ourselves, because just like this individual and even the other one, Asa, both of them, and they're probably just amongst many in Scripture, okay, that throughout time, for whatever reason, whether they were overloaded, like I talked about this morning, all right, one thing coming after another, one problem, one situation, not feeling well ourselves, okay, having to really budget ourselves right now. Whatever, those things sometimes become overwhelming, become too much. And so in the midst of it, we could be easily drawn away to bring our attention to looking for help in other places. Yet who our real source is, our real resource. And we got to remember that God is our source. In every situation, he says, he knows what we need. And he said he will supply our every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He says, even, you know, he said, if you just please me, let my word abide in you and you abide in me. Hey, you know, he said, you could ask whatsoever you would and it'll be done for you. Okay? So on and on, he's answered us. And what we have to do is pay attention, not to get drawn away and not to get overladen with everything. So that's what I'm talking about today, right? What do we do in these situations? Sometimes we just got to throw our hands up and say, I can't do it right now. We have to just reckon with our own selves, because I think we are our biggest enemy. We think that we're supposed to do for everybody, be present for everybody, be right on target for everybody. I'm talking, what did I say? I'm being transparent. So there are times, yes. So let me just go on and say it. There are times, I say through these last months, those times that I just have to throw my hands up and say, I'm one person. I can't be everything for everybody. I can't be present for everybody. There are times that I have to just say, hey, okay, later. And you know what? I'm finding that, hey, if I do it that way, I keep acknowledging God in all my ways. I keep remembering that God told me to bring all my burdens to him, that if I'm picking up other people's burdens, what kind of stuff is that? God told me to bring mine to him, and now I'm going to pick up everybody else's and hold on to it. Ah, check yourself out. I'm having to check myself out. I've been checking on myself, okay? So there are times that I'm having to do things that are contrary to the way I once done them. But I'm to be preserved. It's for my strength. It's that because I find myself being energized. I find myself being revived again. Because sometimes when we keep doing it the old way according to our understanding and everything, then we find ourselves being overladen or pulled down, exhausted. I've even gotten to the point there are times I can't even think straight. I'm not remembering what I was supposed to do. I'm missing deadlines and everything. And I'm saying, it's not right. What's wrong here? And then I sit down and I begin to meditate. I sit down and let the Spirit of the Lord to begin to talk to me and help me make an itinerary, make a list. What do I need to do? What is it that I have to do? What assignment is it that God is giving me? Oh, and then you know what? In the midst of this, I do find myself with some time to just be. You mean just be, Dr. Wilder? What does that mean? It means that, I feel a load lifted off of me. I feel there are times that I can just enjoy the day. I can enjoy one moment after another. That it's okay. I give myself permission. Because what? I'm seeking God. And I'm realizing, hey, this is God's work. And if I don't do it the way God would have me to do it, I probably won't be around. And I'm going to end up losing my footing with God because I'm overshadowed and overwhelmed with stuff that maybe I'm not supposed to be dealing with. And listen, what I find is it's not that maybe I won't deal with it, but it's just that the moment, it's not right now, okay? I've shared this with some people, and I'm saying, and I think I wrote it, I think I put it in one of my broadcasts, and it's like, I don't have to make everybody else's priority my priority. I love it. It's not original. I picked it up from somebody, but I tell you, I printed it, and other people, it's helping other people, and it certainly helps me. And I'll say it again. I do not have to make everybody else's crisis my priority. I don't know how I said it initially. But I don't have to let everybody else's crisis become my priority. Somebody say it one more time, Dr. Wilder, because I'm writing. I do not have to let everybody's crisis become my priority. Woo! What does that mean? Hey, there's a time, even here in our scripture text today, in this book, okay, in the book of Ecclesiastes, but in that third chapter, he says, but to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. Yeah, season and a time to every purpose under the sun. So going back again, sometimes we allow ourselves to get drawn off and we get become overwhelmed. And before we know it, we're taking our eyes off the Lord and we're beginning to try to figure out how to do things ourselves in our own strength and our own might. All right? Oh, my God. And the Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord that we are to lean on. We are to trust in His Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to orchestrate ourselves. And so this scripture says, that all those things that we're doing and we want to do and the phone calls and all of that, they may be good things, but they don't have to be right now. All right? There's a season for it. There's a time for it. And if we follow the Lord, He'll give us the right timing so that we'll be taken care of as well. I'm not talking about that we be so perfect or, you know, you're saying that I have time to go partying or anything like that. I'm talking about our spiritual preservation, staying present, staying alert, staying in a place that God, we can hear God speak to us, all right? We're not so overwhelmed and so overburdened that we can't hear God speak, all right? So again, here we, why did this? Why did these guys do this, okay? After having so much experience with God, would they turn and start doing other things, vacating and what, going away from the Lord? Why? Why? I would dare. Like I said, Solomon was transparent. He says, I decided to speak out. I wanted to know more. So I started seeking it out by wisdom. I started seeking it out by Bali and, you know, building more buildings and all those things I've already named. And if you go back to Ecclesiastes 3 and that second chapter, I believe it is, he names things. He just starts naming things there, okay? I'm calling them being transparent. And in fact, in the second chapter, he said, I said in my heart. Yeah, this is Solomon. He said, I said in my heart, come now. I will test you with myrrh. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. Oh, God. All right. In other words, you look back again over and over, a number of times. You said, I will commune with my heart, saying, look what I have attained. In other words, he was getting quiet with himself, and he was just doing this over and over in the quietness of his heart, not focusing on God, not calling God into it, but he was going off on his own now, his own thoughts, his own beliefs, ideas of how find out this next level and what was what. He says, come now, I will test you with myrrh. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness. And of mirth, he says, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart. There we go again, his heart. I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives, okay? And as I said, if you just keep reading on there, I started to read that whole chapter in our text today, but I pulled back. But I invite you to read it because he's been so transparent. I decided in my heart. I decided to do this and do that, all right? And not seeing here when he said, God, what would you have me? God, show me some more. God, give me revelation and more. No, but in the end, he found out. He came to the conclusion because he was searching out the meaningfulness of life. And in the end, his thing, what he said, in the end, looking back over all of what he had done and all of his transparency for us, he came to the conclusion, the meaninglessness of life apart from God. That was what he ended up looking back. It's meaningless. Life apart from God is meaningless. It's meaningless. We need to stay faithful to God. We got to keep calling on the Lord. We got to keep seeking God. We got to keep allowing God to order our steps. I'm giving you the solutions now. Keep acknowledging God in all of our ways. Acknowledging him, all right? We got to keep remembering that he sees all things, that every creature creature is naked and revealed unto him, that he knows our thoughts afar off. And if we keep that in our minds, it'll help us pull back. It'll help us to stay faithful. It'll help us to cleanse our ways. Hey, yes, my neighbor might not have seen me. My mate might not have seen me. My sister or brother might not have seen me. And certainly they didn't see what was going on in my heart. But Almighty God has an eye that not only is going to and fro seeking who that, you know, he can prove himself strong and mighty in their lives. His eyes are going to and fro that he knows, he sees, he's aware of in and everything we say, we think, even our idle thoughts. The Bible says they're going to be brought into judgment. Our idle thoughts, we're going to answer for our idle thoughts. So that means there's one who sees all, one that's aware of all, and that's our Savior. Say, how long will you stay faithful? Will you only say it until things get good? You come out of poverty, you come out of debt, you come out of despair, you get a good job, you've got a good mate, you know, you get a position now of honor and fame and all of that, and now you're going to let it go by the wayside? No. How long? Let's stay faithful to God. Let's take an answer, take an example from at least these two guys, all right? Doesn't matter that you've already been faithful for a great number of years. Hey, the enemy is still there trying to trip us up and to pull us away from our faithfulness, make us look across the fence and look for our resources, look for help from some other source, or give us to think that we got it all going on because we got everything and that we can just venture out there and try this and try that. We can't do that. The enemy's waiting for you. Yeah, the enemy, somebody just said, well, I just went for a little while. I just wanted to go over there and see what it was all about. The enemy was waiting right there for you. He was waiting for you to walk on those grounds. He was waiting for you to open that door to that place where you knew you shouldn't go. He was waiting because, as I already said, he has a trap set for everyone. He has a trap that he's always out to try to trip us up. Yes, trip us up, all right? So the final words of chapter these words that I read today from chapter 12, this was Solomon's conclusion, his final, let us conclude, let us hear the conclusion, he says, of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, okay? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that is the word, and that's encouraged. Here it was that individuals are totally transparent, all right? And those were his words that he spoke in the last chapter, in that chapter of Ecclesiastes, all right? He says what? This is the conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments. But this is the whole duty of man. We got a responsibility. We have a duty to stay faithful to God, not just for a little while, but all the way through, okay, to the end. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, those things that we think that nobody else sees and nobody else knows, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hey, we're going to be rewarded for the good. And there's, hey, punishment, or as the Bible says, it's going to be wasted. It's going to be lost. All that going to be lost. All right? No reward there. No reward. So this has been the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show coming. Hey, in a way, to be transparent myself, as I talked about an individual that was transparent, that left his transparency in the Word. That's in the Word. We can read it. Yes. And that example to know that, hey, you might have started off well, but you got to run all the way. We can't vacate and we can't get slack. We can't get fall away. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord and keep our minds made up that I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable, and continue to abound in the work of the Lord. So until the next time, please keep thinking, keep looking up, keep calling on the Lord, keep casting your cares on the Lord, keep talking to him about every step you want to take, every thought that you have. Bring it before him. So until the next time, Dr. Annie B. Wilder, looking to hear from you. at drannieb.wilder@gmail.com. That's DRANNIE, the letter B, WILDER, @gmail.com. Until the next time, blessings, blessings, blessings.